Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Alandari, and I'm an infectious diseases specialist in New Orleans.
Hi, my name is Hope Hickerson, and I'm a health education specialist and reporter. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health education expert,
that's me, talk about what you need to know to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy.
For more information about Noise Filter, your public health podcast, and to watch and share our incredible informative animations, please visit us at noisefiltershow.com.
And if you like what you hear, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to us. So, let's get started. COVID-19 infections can lead to birth complications. So maternal health care in this country has long been a big concern. Over the past decade, however, it's come to be labeled a topic of highest concern by healthcare providers since the U.S. achieved the ignoble distinction of having the highest maternal mortality rate out of all developed countries.
That's crazy.
Wow.
The leading cause of maternal and fetal death is a pregnancy complication known as preeclampsia. Preeclampsia is not very well understood, but during the pandemic, the number of preeclampsia cases skyrocketed, and according to doctors, presented a public health threat. In general, the pandemic resulted in an increase in pregnancy complications, which is leading many experts to wonder if and how COVID-19 is causing these complications.
Now, almost 3 years out since the start of the pandemic, many doctors and researchers are looking at the effects that COVID-19 has had on reproductive health, particularly menstrual cycles, fertility, pregnancy, and fetal development. Several large studies have verified that there has been an increase in pregnancy complications during the pandemic, but none have been able to pinpoint the exact reason why. For many immunologists and OBGYNs, the increased rate of pregnancy complications during the pandemic was alarming, especially because COVID was considered to be a respiratory illness and no one expected the virus to impact reproductive organs.
However, this is not the first time a virus has caused pregnancy and developmental complications. The 1918 flu pandemic and the Zika epidemic were two other viruses that have heightened complications for both mother and child. So far, the key findings from COVID-19's effect on reproductive health is that it does not seem to affect fertility. However, with pregnancy, the risk of preeclampsia and other issues such as stillbirths does seem to increase if you contract COVID while pregnant. In fact, multiple studies have shown that pregnant women who were infected with COVID had about a 60% increased risk of preeclampsia compared with those who were not infected.
Although the mechanism is still unclear, researchers believe that COVID-19 is causing inflammation and strain on the circulatory systems of these pregnant mothers. COVID-19 is able to bind to receptors in the heart and on blood vessels known as ACE2 receptors. These receptors are responsible for regulating blood pressure and inflammation. As a result of COVID, doctors have found that in some patients, it ends up causing hundreds of tiny blood clots, which is a risk factor for developing preeclampsia.
Many women feel that there is not enough being done by government and health officials about awareness regarding these pregnancy complications as a result of COVID. The connection between COVID and preeclampsia is alarming, and the public, not just pregnant women, should be informed of this. That way, people might avoid using risky behavior, especially around pregnant individuals.
This is scary. The more we find out about COVID and its effects, the scarier it gets, you know? As a woman in childbearing age, even though, you know, my husband and I have made a decision not to have children, like this still, not to have any more children, excuse me, it's so scary. It's just so scary. Yeah. And then thinking that, you know, it's like, what is being done? Why is there not urgency around figuring this out? And helping us, you know, and helping women. And like, I love that, you know, we made sure to say it's not just a women's problem, because when people hear reproductive issues, a lot of people shut off. They're like, oh, that's a woman's issue. Yeah. That doesn't affect me. I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
But really, yes, you do. You know, we're 50% of the population. Yeah. Like, I mean, come on, we're connected to everything. And then,
well, you know, and every single one of us, 100% of the population, like, was, you know, once,
exactly.
You know,
yeah. Like, yeah. how could it not affect you? Even if it's quote unquote just a women's issue. Yeah, you know what I mean? So totally. it's just so infuriating, it's frustrating and scary that more isn't being done and to let people know, especially the dangers of this.
Hopefully, you know, there'll be more research studies coming out that point us in the right direction about this, but we'll definitely be keeping you updated.
Low birth weight is associated with developmental concerns. Infant birth weight, which is measured on a scale in centiles, can have an effect on early childhood development. We have long known that babies born prior to 37 weeks, often referred to as preterm, typically have very low birth weights and end up struggling with developmental complications at a higher ratio. Full-term infants born at 37 weeks or more are not immune from developmental complications. And a recent study out of the UK sought to understand if there was an association between birth weight and childhood development among full-term births.
This population-based cohort study looked at over 600,000 infants born after 37 weeks of gestation in Scotland. When the children were 2 to 3 years old, they underwent an evaluation that looked at their social development as well as their fine motor, gross motor, and communication skills. The researchers found that infants born below the 25th percentile for birth weight had a greater risk of developmental concerns, specifically pertaining to communication and social skills. The smallest babies, those born in the 10th percentile, carried the greatest risk for developmental concerns. In contrast, babies born above the 75th percentile did not have a notable difference in developmental concerns compared with babies born in the middle range, the 25th to 75th percentiles.
So the researchers who conducted this study concluded that low birth weight among full-term infants is an unrecognized and important factor contributing to the prevalence of childhood developmental concerns. These researchers emphasized the importance of better birth weight surveillance in order to communicate and educate parents on how to help reduce the risk associated with low birth weight infants.
This study is one of the first looking at the association of birth weights and developmental concerns among full-term infants. One of the authors of the study adds that babies who were born mid to moderately small at birth typically go unrecognized when considering childhood development. He suggests that these infants should receive closer monitoring and support during their childhood to help reduce the risk of developing communication, social, or motor deficiencies. Mothers can also help by maintaining a healthy diet and lifestyle during pregnancy.
Thanks for listening to Noise Filter, your public health podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to the Noise Filter podcast, follow us on social media, and leave us a review letting us know your favorite part of the show.
You can find me, Hope Hickerson, at hopehickerson.com.
And you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at The Dr. Derry. That's D-R-D-E-R-Y.
To see and share our amazing animations and find out more information about us, the show, as well as links to our social media, go to noisefiltershow.com.
We are grateful to our sponsors, including Access Health Louisiana and the End the Epidemic Initiative, who are working to bring equitable health outcomes to everyone they serve. Hope, any last words?
Stay well out there, folks, and continue taking steps to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy. That includes exercise, a good diet, getting adequate sleep, and seeing your healthcare providers regularly.
And protect yourself and others by getting the COVID-19 vaccine and booster, wearing a mask, and social distancing wherever possible. Remember, health is a human right.